Hi, and welcome to our latest Pensions Age podcast. I'm the news editor at Pensions Age, Sophie Smith, and joining me to discuss the university's superannuation scheme and its defined contribution investments is USS Investment Management, Head of Investment Product Management, Naomi Clark. Hi, Naomi. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Sophie, and thanks for having us on your podcast today.
Of course. So to start with, could you give us a little bit of background on the DC part of your scheme, Investment Builder?
Yes, of course. So we have got just over £3 billion worth of assets under management in our DC section, and that is across 190,000 members, with about 140,000 of those actively contributing at the moment. Like most DC schemes, we've got the majority of our members are invested in the default option, around 90%, and the rest of them have got a mixture of early default, self-select, or our ethical lifestyle.
Right. And diving in to take a closer look at some of those investments within that DC product, I believe it's been around 4 years since you introduced private market investments into the DC portfolio. So can you tell us a bit about this journey so far and any challenges you may have encountered along the way?
Yes, sure. You're right. So it's been about 4 years. It was 2020 when we started making our first investments in our DC section into illiquid assets. Of course, in our DB section, we have a very long history of investing in private market assets. And it was really due to that long history and existing sort of infrastructure and existing asset base that meant that we could offer those assets to members in the DC section as well. It was a long project to get up and running, both from a kind of sort of physical things we needed to do, but also from a governance perspective. But once we did that, we started allocating in 2020, which was, obviously a challenging time in markets with the pandemic. But I have to say that we fared really well. And actually, even going through those sort of early months of the pandemic, we didn't have any problems with liquidity or anything like that, which was just a real positive for us. And actually, we've had some really good periods of outperformance for our DC section that have been driven by those liquid asset investments that we have. So yeah, for us, it's been a real positive. We're up to about 20% now of the default funds in illiquid assets. And that's kind of really across a wide spectrum of, infrastructure, renewables, private credit, and obviously in different sort of allocations across the life cycle. So obviously more growth assets in the kind of growth or early stage of the life cycle, moving over to more kind of credit, or even long dated type instruments as we get closer to the retirement point.
And I'm mindful that those private assets can span both the UK and global markets, but we are seeing UK pension schemes facing increasing pressure to invest in the UK, with plans for DC schemes to require to publicly disclose their level of investment in UK businesses by 2027, and some suggesting that mandating could even be the next step. So, do you have any views on the recent push towards UK investment and those new proposed disclosures?
Yeah, I mean, I think for us, when we started on our private markets journey a long time ago, we kind of naturally started investing in UK assets, particularly when we were doing, the first sort of directly held asset. I always think about it a bit like buying a house. I think it's quite unusual for somebody to buy their first house in a country that they don't reside. Because, obviously they understand the kind of the jurisdiction, they understand the operating environment. And I think illiquid investing is a bit like that. It's obviously easier to start off investing in UK assets. We understand the laws, all that sort of thing. Yeah, I mean, I think our portfolio in private markets assets is biased slightly towards UK assets for those sorts of reasons. I think, our perspective is, we do think that, trustees have a fiduciary duty to invest in the best financial interests of members. They need to have unfettered right to invest where they want to invest. So, I think we would be concerned about governments putting undue pressure on schemes as to where they should be investing. But, equally, I do think that there is, particularly in illiquid assets, I think there is often a bit of a home bias. And, we do see that ourselves. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And narrowing in on those disclosures, do you think that's a requirement that USS Investment Management would be ready and able to help the scheme trustee meet?
You mean disclosing where our assets are held?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yeah, we have full transparency on all our assets and we very much understand where all our assets are held.
I'm mindful you mentioned fiduciary duty there. And of course, investing in the UK is not the only area pension schemes are facing scrutiny on. So could you tell us a little bit more about how you apply responsible investment in your DC schemes, particularly given some of those concerns we've seen in the industry about the limitations fiduciary duty could place on this?
Yeah, I think, you know, we do obviously, we invest in the best financial interests of members. And, you know, we do have a duty to make sure that benefits we promise those members are paid when they fall due. I think, you know, for us, we consider these responsible investment risks like climate change really as just another financial factor when we're making analysis around companies. And so we aren't particularly restricted by the framework. These are real risks that businesses face, and they will have financially material impacts on businesses. So I think we feel that for us, it doesn't pose us a problem.
Brilliant. And we've touched on just a couple of the key topics affecting the market there today, but with so many issues to be considering, what do you see coming next for your DC product?
I think for our scheme, we're possibly slightly different to other schemes in that, you know, we have a DB underpin for our members. So our members don't just have DC benefits, they have DC benefits as well as their DB underpin. And I think for us, we've recently had some benefit change, which has been very positive for members. But for us, we now are in the process of re-looking at our glide path, looking at the endpoint of our glide path in light of the sort of whole benefit structure for members. So I wouldn't say it's a challenge, but, you know, it's a significant piece of work that we need to do to make sure that what we're offering on the DC side is fit for purpose for members in respect of this new benefit structure.
And I'm afraid that's all we have time for today. Thank you so much, Naomi, for joining me. And thank you all for listening. Goodbye.